I'm Genesis Leal, and you're listening to Perspectives with Zachary Perkins.
All right, guys, welcome back to Perspective. This week, I am joined by the one, the only, the man, the myth, and the legend, Mr. Marcus McNeil is in the building. Marcus, tell the people hello.
What's poppin'? How y'all doing?
Now, I had not really planned on making another episode of Perspective this week because I was a little busy. But Marcus texted me the other day and he said, let's shake the table. So I'm always down to shake the table because that's what keeps this shit interesting. That's how we keep the culture moving, and that's how we educate y'all. But Marcus, what is the reason of shaking the table today?
You know, today we're gonna discuss like the DL culture within the LGBTQIA plus community of color, more specifically the Black community. You know, we really don't talk about this because it's in itself, it's taboo, and you kind of just, we protect these folks and we protect DL men, and I think that it's a topic that we have to have, and it's a discussion we have to have, because oftentimes we just don't talk about it.
Right.
Or we talk about it between each other, and I just think that
it's a global conversation.
It's a global conversation that we need to shine some light on.
Okay. So, like I said, we were talking about this in the group a little bit yesterday, the difference between DL men and closeted men, so I wanted to get your take on that, and then I'll kind of talk about what I think the difference is.
Well, I know for me, I think when I think of closeted, I think of your present situation, like what you're in. Oftentimes, some people are closeted because they're not in the best opportunity to come out.
Right.
You know what I mean? To come out the closet. That's just my opinion of closeted. You know, some people are closeted their whole lives. They don't date, or if they do date, they just date women, and they're not out here in these streets, basically. When I think of DL, I think of men who date other men who men who are in these streets and who are very active and who the girls all know who they are, and you know what I mean? And it's no secret, or sometimes it is a secret, but you know, it's no shade, but it just is there out here, and then they have girlfriends at the same time. And you know, there's nothing wrong with bisexuality, but at the same time,
we gotta claim it. We gotta stand in our truth.
And so it's like, it's a difference between your standing in your truth, and then you got kids and you got a whole family, but you're out here very active in these streets.
Right. I think DL men are, to me anyways, are more fixated on the sexual end of everything. They just are concerned about busting the nut. They don't care who it's with as long as they get off. And I think that closeted men are more so, they want it all, but they can't either bring themselves to terms to accept it, you know, for themselves, or out of fear of what their friends and their families and everybody around them is going to say, what society's going to think, and how they're going to be perceived once they step into themselves. So I think that closeted men are wanting to encompass the whole package, like, of everything that comes within, like, relationships within our community, but they just don't know how to go about it. I think they feel like they have things to lose. And
I think it's the same for DL too.
Yeah, but I just feel like closeted, you've almost accepted that part of yourself, but you're still restricting yourself. Like, you're not fully embracing it. You're not claiming it as part of your identity. You know, like, you know it's there. Those closest to you might know it's there, but you have not really taken actions, and you're not, like, done anything to
proclaim it.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So why do we even in 2020 have to have a discussion about men being closeted?
I know. Like, I oftentimes I ask myself, I'm like, what the hell? Like, you know, and my perspective is so different because, like, I was an athlete, and, like, there was plenty of reasons why I was closeted at the time. And, like, even now, some people are like, you gay? I didn't know you were gay. And I was like, it's so crazy because, like, you know, I just live my life.
Right.
Like, I don't do it on anybody's terms. I never made a social media post about it. Like, I started dating men, and that was that. I never had a girlfriend.
Mark said, I'm going to pop out on you.
That's the thing. That's all it was. It was never a, you know? Like, and when people ask me, I proclaim, yes, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And then I'm active and I do things within my community. So there's no confusion.
Right.
I'm not out here trying to trick nobody. I'm not out here trying to do any of those things. I'm just not one of those people that constantly talks about my sexuality as much.
Right.
I just live my sexuality. I just live my as a gay man and do what I gotta do.
Right. See, I feel like for myself, it's all still a little fresh for me. Like, I've been out of the closet because I came out as bi sophomore year. So I only came out as gay like last year. Mm-hmm. And I only came out as gay to my parents like literally this week. Like, wow. So like, I wanted to like make sure that was done before I did this. Like, it just all, like, when you text me that, I felt like that was a sign, like, I needed to tell these people. But I feel like for myself, I am a little more expressive about who I am, mm-hmm. because I feel like I had to hide like who I was for so long. So now I'm just like, y'all gonna hear me today. Like, I got something to say, and everybody gonna hear me. Like, y'all gonna feel me. You know, y'all are gonna know who I am and what I represent and what I align myself with. Like, you know, when you interact with anything that has anything to do with me, and that's just how I feel about that right now. But I feel like, I don't know if these men are still like looking at the world through the lens of like the 1980s, but like, we really don't care.
We don't live in that era anymore. You know, some people might live in a, like, a community, or mm-hmm. they might be surrounded by people who have these ideologies, but truthfully, like, the span of, like, a lot of people, I think oftentimes we don't give people credit. Like, mm-hmm. I thought my parents were going to hate me when I came. I thought it was going to be like, oh, whatever. And, like, how my dad found out I was gay was I think you know your kids, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But he called me one day, and he was like, I had posted this fabulous picture of myself. I was looking good.
Right.
He said, are you gay? And I was sitting there, I was like, yes, I am. Right. And, you know, our relationship really hasn't changed. But he told me, like, you know, I've known a lot of gay people my whole life. Like, you know, I've been around them, and, you know, they ain't no problem with me. You know, as long as you treat yourself right and you, like, people treat you with respect. It meant a lot to me for him to be accepting of that. But I think oftentimes, like, my dad played in the NFL. He's a big guy. He's a, you know, like, in my head, I thought he was going to not want anything to do with me.
Right.
When the reality of it is, you never know what our parents are exposed to, or what they've been exposed to, or what life they've lived before mm-hmm. you were born. Because they give them credit to the simple fact that they might not. Unless they're over here saying, oh, I don't want no faggots up in my, right. You know what I mean? But, like, feel your parents out, like, and I did, and bro, it was like, my mom, she's been doing since I came out,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Since I was a child, I came out of her vagina. She said
that's the last time he will interact with one of these.
Yes, I said that was the last time I seen one. But,
okay.
Yes, but most definitely, like, with my mom, it was just like, she knew, and she was just telling me she was waiting on me,
mm-hmm.
and I think these guys, they're not around the community, and their only interaction, DL men's interaction with us, is sexually,
mm-hmm.
or what they see on TV.
Right.
And so I think that, like, it really holds true to what you were saying, that it's a lot of it has to do with your sexual attraction.
Right. My dad, like, I read him completely wrong. My dad is from Third Ward in Houston. Like, I just perceived him to be very... very much a product of the environment he grew up in. And I told him, and my dad was just like, you know, you gotta live for yourself. He was like, I'm living for me. He was like, I made all the decisions that I wanted to. And he was like, I'd be a horrible person if I sat here and tried to make you subscribe to everything that I'm subscribed to just because I'm subscribed to it. He was like, that's not how life goes. That's not fair to you. It's not fair to me. And he told me that, and, like, I literally cried, like, on the phone, like, because just to have that level of acceptance from not only your parent, but from this male figure in your life who is so important to you and, like, who you are as a person, that shit meant the world to me. And I knew instantly, I'm like, I need to be so appreciative of this, because everybody doesn't have this. Everybody does not have a fraction of what I'm, like, presented with right here in front of me. But in terms of like closeted men out here, like in schools and things like that. I don't understand it. We don't know you. We don't know where you're from. We don't know your people. We don't know your friends. This is an opportunity for a fresh start. Like,
but see, the thing is, I feel like I can speak to San Marcos. I can speak to, because I transferred from another school, but I can definitely speak to San Marcos for the simple fact that I think that we in ourselves as a gay community, as a queer community, we're not necessarily united. Oh, it's not a united front.
Definitely not.
We're very sporadic. We're all over the place. You know what I mean? Not in the sense of like physical location, but also in the sense of physical location. Like we don't come together for things.
Mm-mm.
And even when you go to Stonewall, like there's layers to that shit over there too. Okay, we got to talk about that. So that's a different topic. But when it comes to the gay black community, every single person I know that is, I know less than 10 people. I know less than 10 out of the closet gay men, gay black men here on campus.
Really?
I know less than 10. And we all know each other.
We do all know each other.
We all know each other that are standing in their sexuality and standing in who they are.
Okay.
You know, now I know plenty of them. You know what I mean? We know tons of them that are. You know what I mean? But this is what we're talking about. You know what I mean? This is what it is. We know tons of them,
right,
but we can't speak on it because, you know, we're respecting where they're at in their life.
Right.
But that's where I think it comes down to, like, the when someone's closeted, I don't think they even put themselves in situations, you know what I mean? In the sense of being on Grindr or being on all of those things, if they're truly not trying to come and be in that. But at the same time, I think it's like, you know, the DL in closet, it kind of intertwines, you know what I mean? At the end of the day,
no, definitely.
It intertwines, but I think that the DL part is a lot of us be so bitter because we want these men to like us or to be with us,
right,
and want something more than a sexual attraction,
right,
to me. And that is something that they simply cannot provide because they're not in a place in their life where they're okay. And I think a part of the problem is we don't hold them to a certain standard.
Yeah.
We let them disrespect us.
Mm-hmm.
We let them wild out on Twitter, wild out on social media, and nobody checks these men.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers me because even when I was closeted, I was not disrespectful to the queer community because I knew that I was a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes they do that projection thing where they disrespect us because they're a part of us. Mm-hmm. They're queer individuals.
And they hate it.
And they hate it. And so they project and they say the wildest things on Twitter. And sometimes I just want to sit there and be like, hey fam, like I just want, like I want to be so messy on Twitter.
Sis.
Or so messy. Yes. But then I have to bring myself back down and remember, you know, like everybody isn't in the same place. And quite frankly, it's dangerous because these motherfuckers will kill you.
And they will.
So
I think for myself, going back, because when I was in high school, I had this relationship. And I was still in the closet. And he was like, I don't know how much further out of the closet he could have been. And he just was like,
had one foot out.
Yeah, no, I don't even know if I had a toe out at that point. But like, he was giving me attention. Like, I just really liked his energy, his vibe. So I was like, whatever. Like, I had always thought about it, but I just never knew how to like go up to anybody and express it or whatever. So when he came up to me, I was like, you doing all the fucking work. Like, we're going to roll with it. But my thing is, I know, like, my reluctance to be seen in public with him, like, when we were dating, or, like, to not be as affectionate, or just to not do a lot of things that I felt like, because I had a lot of trust issues, too, because the school district I went to, it was very big, but we all knew each other and word, like, traveled very fast, especially if you were somebody at your high school, like, you know, everybody's going to know your business. And I just know for myself, I could never put myself in a situation with a closeted man or a DL man, like a serious, serious situation, because I know like what is asking somebody to give up and what I'm asking somebody, you know, like to step outside of their comfort zone for me.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not comfortable doing either of those things. Like, I'm not comfortable sacrificing what I want, and I'm not comfortable making somebody prematurely step into the spotlight.
See, I have an ex that I did that. Like, I did that within the sense of, like, it was me that was the one asking them to do this.
Right.
For the simple fact that I was an athlete at the time. I was playing football. I was like, you know, active in my community, and like in my head, I had a lot to lose, but it was a more of a safety reason that if my teammates or anybody else found out that they would try to harm me,
right,
or people would look at me differently, or I would lose my scholarship, or it just was so much going on, so many layers, so many things, complex, toxic masculinity. So, you know, I asked him, I was like, you know, let's keep this like on the low. When he would come over for the weekends, it would be, we would stay, because one of my best friends at the time, she ran track.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, she would be at a meet or something, and she literally lived right next to me in my dorm. So we would be in her dorm room kicking it.
Okay.
And so it wasn't fair to him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To be confined to this space.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the feeling is. It's like, oh, when you're dealing with someone that is DL, or you're dealing with someone that is in the closet, you're confined to spaces, and then you're in these spaces, and you're not getting the full spectrum of what a relationship is, and you're not getting the full, so any amount of attention or affection that they give you, you're gonna hold on to it.
Right.
You're gonna hold on to it. And it just is so sad to be in. Now I know I would never be in a relationship with somebody that was closeted.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm out, you know, you already know how I am. We're gonna go out, we're gonna go have a good time, we're gonna go, right, to brunch, we're gonna do this and do that. I'm not about to sit up in no house, up in no room.
All day, every day,
and order takeout.
Because
you want to go up in here and you don't want to be open and all that. I'm not waiting for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I just make an appeal to all the gay boys, all my girls, everybody around the world dealing with these DL men, these closeted men, you know, let me be careful in saying respect yourself. What I'm going to say is give yourself the best option. You know, don't sit around here and wait around for someone that is most likely not going to come out. Don't put your faith in that.
Yeah.
Don't plant a seed and try to watch that one grow, because, you know, you can wait, and then you wait and then he end up having a kid or some shit.
See, I don't think saying respect yourself is disrespectful, because, like, kind of going off what you were saying, people stay in those situations and, like, you get a crumb of affection, a crumb of attention, and then you're over here making it seem like you have the best man in the world and he's giving you all this just because you're not used to getting anything.
Well, who is he? Let me see a picture. I can't show you that. What do you look like?
Then you're single. And it's like, and that's okay. But I think also another aspect that I think about, especially within our culture, we've somehow accepted the fact that black comes in many shades and sizes, but we can't get behind the idea that black is not uniform in terms of political ideologies and sexualities and even religion. You know, like, those things are very hard for us to be divided on within our community. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of that homophobia that we're almost raised upon, a lot of us are raised upon in our households, impacts that. And I understand that because... Yeah. Ooh, no, I don't want to say that.
You know, like, I remember being at a young age, and my I would go to Richmond, Virginia, where I'm from originally. Mm-hmm. I would go back, and like my aunts or my like cousins or whatever, they'd be like, oh, you gonna be gay when you grow up, so we gotta treat you like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta toughen you up.
Yeah.
So that you don't grow up gay, or so you're not a faggot. And like, and so in my eyes, like, I just was like, you know, it's like hazing almost, you know what I mean? Because they're trying to make you straight or make you be like this and make, right, you be like that. And you don't even understand what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what a faggot was. I didn't know what gay was. I didn't know what none of that shit was. And like, it wasn't even on TV like that. It wasn't mainstream.
Right.
Even when we were growing up, you would rarely see these things. And so I just feel like, you know, it's that policing that we often do people, and it internalizes, and then you carry that on,
mm-hmm,
throughout the rest of your life, and it can fuck shit up for you.
It really can
fuck shit up, because then you police your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Don't walk like this. Don't talk like this. Let me have a deeper voice. Let me talk this. Let me do this. Like, when I get around men, like, sometimes I find myself when I get around other black men, I try to police myself in a sense, mm-hmm, of, okay, I'm not gonna be as feminine, or my gestures or whatnot. And I do that simply because I feel like when black men find out that you're gay, they feel like they don't have to give you a certain level of respect.
For sure.
And I'm just like, you've known me long enough to know the type of person that I am. I don't command respect, but naturally you should respect me.
Right.
Like, and I'm gonna give you respect.
Right. I feel like I'm a very respecting person. I feel like that's a very interesting point you made about black men, because obviously we're not black women, mm-hmm, but like the, because a lot of these straight black men disrespect and violate black women on a daily. And we get some of that same treatment. They relegate us into that same subcategory, almost like they try to demasculate us and things like that. And I hate that, you know, that code switching. Like, I hate that I've kind of done that too, because I've heard some people say, like, oh, yeah, you're the kind of gay I like. Like, you're not the obnoxious and, like, flamboyant and feminine gay. Like, you don't think you're good. And I'm like,
I had somebody call me diet gay one time. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Gay. I'm like, diet gay. I'm like, I need to go get my flag, my rainbow flag or something for you to.
Oh, not diet gay. I honestly hate them, though. I just think that this obsession with people's sexuality is so weird. If you are not interested in having sex with me, why do you care? If you don't want to date me, why do you care? Why does it...
I've realized that that care and where that comes from is because, baby, you're curious. You want to know what I got going on in this treasure chest over here. You know what I mean? You want to know what's going on up under here. You, that, like, you are interested in my stuff. You're interested in what I got. No, I do not smoke, so I'm not gonna come over and smoke with you. Like that, I think that's the that's the past. You know what I mean? When guys, whenever I get that, or someone like, do you smoke? What's up? And I'm just like,
I know what you're trying to do.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to set me up. That's the type of person you are. Okay. You're trying to set me up.
Like, these plugs be adding you to their private story, and at first it's all weed, and then it's a dick print, and then you're like,
yeah,
I see what time it is, but
yeah,
and I'm sleeping through the bullshit. That's what time it is.
I most definitely do the same thing, like in the sense of just I ignore it. Like whenever they try to hit me up, because I'm like, I'm too far. You out the closet. I'm out the house at this point. Like, you're not even. Like, I ain't going back in there.
Okay.
And I think that that's a part of the closet, is that culture and of those men. And I'm like, force somebody else, but that's not my ministry.
Okay.
I don't do that.
Okay. Like, I can't be the one to take y'all to the top of the mountain. I can't do it.
Can't do
and
it.
not by that way of delivery. Like, if your delivery is correct and you coming from a real genuine place, cool, fine, whatever. But I just can't, like, some thinly veiled, like, innuendo, you know, of you trying to get with me, but you trying to cover it and mask it. You're not ready. And I recognize that. But I think the biggest thing, like, that I feel like that I've gotten after coming out is I feel like I'm a more genuine person.
Yeah.
Like, I move the way that I feel like I'm supposed to be moving. I'm doing things I feel like I should have been doing a long time ago. Like, I'm not standing in the way of myself anymore. And so, like, I just have this clarity. I have this appreciation for life because I'm living for me and not for anybody else. I don't give a fuck, like, anymore. I won't let people diminish me, or I won't let people decide who I'm supposed to be in society, because I don't go around, you know, policing other people, and I don't go around trying to make people fit into boxes that make me comfortable. So
that's that on that, baby.
Okay. Now, within our community, especially, this is something you see, like, especially a lot on, like, Grindr or Jacked or Tinder, the whole femme versus mask separation within our community.
Yes.
We all gay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We all are. And it just is like, I think it's so funny because we police ourselves. Like, you know, someone who's femme is supposed to be a bottom. It's supposed to be like this. Supposed to be like that. Someone who's masked is supposed to be a top and do this and do that. And then, you know, where's the medium? You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's okay to just be who you are. Don't put me in a box, and don't try to tell me you're a big guy, you should be like this, and you should be like that. Oh, that you that type of gay, you this and you that. It's like, we oppress ourselves within our own community by putting each other in these boxes.
Right.
And that's, I don't get into the habit or the any of those things. I have friends that are more very feminine. I have friends that are very masculine. And I think that we praise the masculinity within our community. We praise it because it's realness, it's mm-hmm. passing, you know what I mean? You could walk in somewhere, you know what I mean, and you're like the straight guys. The girls want you to. Mm-hmm. Like that, you're masculine. And I think that we downplay femininity and for these for guys that are more femme and all of these things because we look at femininity in men as weakness.
Right.
And I don't know where that stems from, and I'm not even going to try to stem it to somewhere. But
I don't know. I feel like a lot of gay men have gotten lost in this societal notion that there has to be a girl, quote unquote, in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people feel like, okay, well, I'm probably like the more softer, the more passive one, so I'll be the girl. Mm-hmm. And then they have this fixation with finding somebody who's masked and somebody who's stronger and, like you said, like everything you described. And I just feel like a lot of times people miss out on their soulmate, the people they're supposed to be with, trying to, like I said, just fit into these boxes and neatly check these boxes. Everything doesn't fit in the box. Like, we're a little messy. We're a little uncompartmentalized. Like, and you have to be willing to unpack your shit, you know what I'm saying? But I don't understand. But that's another thing with like DL culture. Like,
yeah,
they come in and they're like, I only want this. I only want that. Like,
they know what they want. That's the thing.
Yeah,
because they're not going to date you. They know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And if sometimes they will date you in a sexual sense, in the sense of like, oh, I'm gonna come over. Only time you see me is when I come over to your house.
Right.
Like.
They're very in control. Like, I envy that. Like, they have full control of everything that they're in.
Exactly. And I think it's that masculinity piece. But, you know, DL men, oftentimes, they'll try to fuck with me, and then they'll realize, oh, I can't fuck with you.
Right.
Because, one, they'll see, oh, I'm active, I'm known, and they'll be like, oh, I thought you was just a
little duck off. Yeah, like, yeah.
Nope. You might not know who I am. You know right. what I mean? But other folks do. They'll realize that, but then also, I'm like, let's go get some food somewhere. Let's go get this. I remember I was talking to this guy, and I didn't know that he was DL. He presented himself as, you know, you know what I mean? And he's like, okay, I'll go get some food with you, or whatever. And when he came, I went to give him a hug,
mm-hmm.
and he dapped me up. He, like, pushed me like this, and he dapped me up, and I was like, you got me fucked up if you think you're going to just dap me up like right. that. Like, what is that? And I said something to him, and, like, we talked a little bit more. And he's like, well, I don't really fuck with that gay shit, really. Like, you know, you cool, but I don't fuck with it. And so I was like, you know what?
What the fuck does that mean?
It's been fun. You know, I had a good time. But I'm going to go ahead and exit stage left.
Okay.
Blew up my phone. I had to block him. Like, was blowing my phone up, and I was just like, boy, bye.
I don't understand why people say that, like, I'm not with that gay shit, but you're cool. Like, you're the exception to the rule. Like, that's going to make me feel, like, good about myself. Like,
you want some bussy, you know, you you know what you want. You with it, baby. You're very much so with it.
No, there was this DL man that I messed around with briefly, like, sophomore year. And this man, like, we had already been with each other and everything. This man calls me buddy one day. I was like, don't call me buddy. Like, I'm not your friend like that. Like, we have taken this to a whole nother level. Like, buddy is not gonna suffice. Don't address me as such. But I think I recognize like in that moment, like, cause DL men, they kind of boil my blood a little bit. Like, they kind of, just because of, I don't think that they're aware of the trauma they sometimes put people in this community through, and things like that. But it's also us who, like, are intrigued by DL men and keep yeah. them around. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people within our community definitely have a strong fetish for DL men.
What does that come? Like, I know guys that are like, I only talk to, like, hood dudes and DL dudes.
Right.
And I'm just like, do you want kids one day? Like, what do you want out of this? Like, what do you feel like that's what you deserve? And that's what, like, I ask, like, is that you deserve that, or is that, like, that's just your type?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, with that comes a certain lifestyle. And I'm not trying to be in a Bonnie and Clyde ass, like, you know what I mean? I'm trying to be like the Huxtables. I'm, well, no, yeah, not really necessarily.
Huxtables, no bill.
No bill. I'm trying to be like the blackest family. Like, I'm trying to be like that. I don't want that for myself. And it's not right. to disrespect or shade anybody that does, because, you know, different strokes for different folks. But baby, that ain't my stroke. That ain't for me. And I just wish that my brothers and my sisters, because, you know, but there's trans folks who still date these DL men. There's women who date these DL men, you know what I mean? And they'll deny the fact that they're DL, or the people that people will be bringing them stuff. I'm not into the business of outing anybody. I'm mm-hmm. never going to do that. But when there's overwhelming evidence and these streets is talking and, you know, the pictures are circulated and all of this stuff is going on, baby, you have to wake up and smell the roses at some point.
And I think that that's so crazy how some women don't want to interrupt their fantasies of these men that they've grown to love and care about so much. I remember one time, like, it wasn't me, but it was somebody that I know, and they were messing around with this girl's baby daddy. And then he had another baby daddy, and the baby daddy was, like, arguing, like, on social media or whatever. He was like, I really just want to put both of them, like, out of their misery, because this is crazy, and this man is over here living a double life, like, mm-hmm. you know, not doing anything for either of them or those children. He was like, I really just want to tell her, like, you know, let her know, you know, kind of where he is, so she knows where she needs to be. And so he, like, pours his soul out to this woman, tells her, like, the whole story about how they've been and this, that, and third. Like, it wasn't on anything messy. Like, they met in person. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, I don't believe you. He's like, I got receipts. Like, he pulled up, like, the thread, like, showed the number was connected to the thread and everything. Like, same number she got. And she, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, he must be having one of his homeboys, like, text you from that phone or whatever. Like, she was just, like, not trying to hear, not trying to believe it. And I believe they're still together. Like, they still rocking with each other. And, like, he said sometimes the guy hit him up and try to slide, and he's like, no.
That's crazy. That is crazy. I just don't see it for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know plenty of girls that I know. Not plenty of girls, but there's a lot of girls that I know that are out here and they're talking to these guys and they're in these relationships with these guys that we all know the Tion, you know what I mean? Like, it's no secret to us. But we don't, of course, we're never going to say nothing about it because of the danger it could put us in. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in the business of outing people.
Right.
But I think when you do walk that line, when you're a DL man, and to any DL man listening to this, let me tell you, be very careful. Because some of these girls out here, some of these guys, they are not as nice and not as forgiving as a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And you will get outed and you will get hurt. And
your world will be upside down.
And they're not going to go to your baby mama and be peaceful about it. They're going to post it on social media mm-hmm. where everybody and their mama can see it. I just saw this thing the other day where this woman outed this man or something like that on Twitter. And he pulled up on her and shot and killed her. And,
oh, my God.
And at a stoplight. And, you know, I think that it's crazy that they be forgetting. Folks be forgetting, like, you know, I understand, like, the DL culture and everything, but, like, at the end of the day, it is dangerous to out these fools.
It
so
really
I'm
is.
Not going to do it.
Okay, I'll let people live, like.
I'm going to let you live, but at the end of the day, I don't agree with that movement, baby.
I don't either.
Because even when I was, like I said, even when I was, I guess, considered DL or, you know, in the closet, I never disrespected nobody.
No, like, same.
I never disrespected nobody. I never was out here selling pipe dreams.
Let me say this, though, because I was smart in the closet. I wasn't trying to be found out till I was ready to be found out. Mm-hmm. I had my locations turned off when I was on these apps. Mm-hmm. That's really what be killing me. The locations be on. Or what they'll do is they'll be people who are, like, of a certain stature, wherever, in whatever community, and they'll have a picture that's, like, cropped, mm-hmm. and then have the same exact picture be their, like, profile pictures on other social medias. People are not rocket scientists. Like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put two and two together and give four. And a lot of y'all be telling on yourselves, like, mm-hmm. and it's like, y'all be like, I know a lot of them be wondering, like, how do people have tea on me, like, a lot of them are sloppy, do not cover their tracks. And that's my thing with it. It's like, we know. Like, we literally know because of you. So why not just jump into it.
What's your craziest experience dealing with the DL like world? Like, what is something?
Okay, so this man had a girlfriend, and I was young. I was naive. Like, this is pretty early on into me dating, but it's also pretty early on to like me being here. And I think I've told the story like a part of it before on here. But so yeah, he had a girlfriend. My dumbass would never understand why he only could like meet at a certain time, but he was like always getting off work or like this, that, and the third. So I was like, I don't think anything of whatever. And then one day I kind of had like that moment. I was like, we're not just gonna be laid up like every Thursday, Friday night, like, and not do anything. I was like, you need to take me out. Like, I know we probably did this backwards, but you need to take me out somewhere. Like, we need to go do something. And he was like, nah, like, I'm not with all of that. Like, I'll have sex with a guy, but I'm not gay. And I was like, no. Like, sexuality is rooted in who you're attracted to, who you sleep with. So I'm gonna need you to revisit that statement. I'm not saying you have to be gay, but I'm gonna need you to revisit that statement, buddy. So we were hanging out one night. He came over to my house, and grown people was being grown. And the next thing I know, his phone starts ringing. I'm like, I'm thinking he's just going to silence it or like put it away. And so the next thing I know, this man answers the phone, and he's like, yeah, baby, I'll be there soon. Like, I'll be there soon. And I was like, sir, we're number one, we're busy here. Number two, who the fuck is this on the phone? So he's like, oh, that's my girl. And I was like, or what did he say? He said, yeah, that's my girl. And I was like, oh, like your homie, like your friend. And he was like, no, like my girlfriend. And I was like, sir, like I had to push him off of me. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he was just like, you don't understand. Like, we've been through so much. I can't hurt her. Like, this is the girl I'm getting married to. Like, this is the girl that's gonna have my kids. He was like, we've been through, he was basically saying like, because they had been through so much and because he had hurt her, he had to stick it out now because she had given him another chance to like be his beard basically while he was out here doing whatever. And I told him, I was like, no, like that just doesn't work with me. Like, if you were over here like really actively trying to put an end to this, maybe I would have been like, okay, whatever. And then I'm at work the next day, and then his girlfriend calls me. And I was like, I don't got no business in San Antonio. So when I saw that San Antonio area code, I was like, I knew from jump what the fuck it was. So I had to get back into my Viola Davis, my Denzel bag real quick, because I had a choice. Like, was I going to save this man's ass, or was I just going to throw it all out there? So I had to pretend like my girlfriend was messing around with him. So I had to act like I was finding out about the cheating too. I was like, yeah, like I have her phone today at work. I was like, yeah, but I'm at work right now, so I'm gonna have to call you back. And she was like, I'm so sorry, like I did not mean to like just throw all of this on you at work. She was like, I have text messages from them and this, that, and the third. She was like, I can send it to your phone if you want to. And like, I'm over here like panicking, so I give this girl my coworker's phone number so she can send like the receipts to. And I was like, thank you so much. And then like I get off the phone and I'm like, I text him, I'm like, hey, your girlfriend, like, just called me. And he said, LOL, what did she say? And I'm like, are you, like, kidding me? Like, I, number one, just saved your ass when I really did not have to. And number two, like, you being so nonchalant about this, like, it was really pissing me off. Like, it was really upsetting me. But, like, in all of that, I just could not, like, bring myself to tell her, like, what was going on, because I was like, that's still his journey. Like, he's fucked up for this, but that's still his journey. And he was still like trying to come over, trying to text me. And I was like, no, like now, like my guilt is really through the roof about this shit.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, are you done with the story?
Yes.
Okay. I know for me, I think the craziest experience I ever had was like definitely the Grindr Chronicles, because child, there was this one time. It was this dude. He had a picture on there.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, look, good looking dude. You know what I mean? And he was like, hey, what's up? And I was like, what's good? Like, we talking. Then we exchange information. We having like good conversation about music and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, bet. he's like, come through, like, come kick it with me. And I was like, you already know what's going to happen. So I wait, question was going to happen. So I was like, okay, bet. So I like was like, okay, bet, I'm going to go over there. And I went over his house and I knock on the door. When he opens the door, he has a hood over his head, glasses on, and a shirt pulled up over his mouth.
I know you fucking lying.
Over his mouth. I was like, hell nah. So I crept up out of there so fast.
Okay.
Because I'm like, you will try to kill me or some shit like
right.
that. Like,
and I would never even know what you looked like.
And I would never, you can give me something, you can kill me, and I would literally never know what your face looked like. And then, like, a part of me was like, damn. So I really grinded for it, like, a while.
That was scared the shit out of me, too.
That was the, literally, it was one of the, like, the freakiest experiences I had, because he was like, where'd you go? I was like, bro, if that's not you, you know what I mean, then who is it?
Right.
Like, who are you? Who picture? You probably using your homeboy's pictures or somebody's pictures out here. Like, what are you doing, nigga?
These niggas, like, mental illness.
Mental illness, bro. I never forget that, bro. I just know that I peeled up out that motherfucker like that one
year. As you should have.
when the car is going in between cars, I was out.
No, for real. I don't know what they be thinking of. Like, when they be like, I'm not sending pictures, like, but I'll send pictures of anything else, pull up. Why the fuck am I going to pull up to your house or have you pull up to mine? And I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You going to pull up. I'm going to pull up on you. You have a banging body, look like Scooby-Doo. Like, why I want to... Like, why I want to do that? Like,
or the ones that aren't, like, that secretive, but are very, what's the word? They're very, like, set on not sending pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, when I get there, I'm going to see what you look like.
That's what I'm saying.
And then what? You locked into here?
Yeah, you locked into here. And plus, you just never, like, I think the scariest thing, or one of the scariest things when dealing with these men who are DO or being around them, is the fact, the potential of the damage that they can cause.
Yeah.
And when I talk about damage, I'm talking about spreading diseases and
mm-hmm.
just a whole lot. And then you're over here fucking over these girls, but you're also over here fucking over these dudes or trans individuals. You're over here doing this, and at the end of the day, you're hurting all these people in this, not even triangle, it's like a circle at this mm-hmm. point. Because oftentimes these men aren't just talking to you, they're talking to multiple people. They got a dude for every day of the week, if they, you know what I mean, if they want to. And that's another place where they get messy, is because we all know each other, or we are in contact with each other, or we'll come in, or one of our friends is friends with another friend, and then we're like, what's up? Like, you know, it's like this stuff is going down. Who you talk to? Oh, I talk to such and such. I talk to such and such.
That,
and now your tea is spilled.
Right. The dating scene, especially out here, ooh, if y'all are not, like, familiar with the area or, like, what we got going on out here at Texas State, like, at least, like, the black gays, because I know, and we'll get to this in a minute, but I know a lot of the black gays out here only want to date, like, black exclusively.
Yes.
So the community out here is exasperated. Like, everybody can talk to everybody.
Everybody.
It's love triangles, love squares, like, when you really sit down, you be like, damn, like, who'd have not been for everybody at some point?
At some point.
But speaking on that, how do you feel about dating outside of your race? Because I know we don't really talk about how much white gays still leverage their privilege within our community. So I want to get your opinion on that.
I don't. Well, I'm multicultural. Like, I'm multiracial. My mom, she's Puerto Rican. My dad, and she's Puerto Rican and French Canadian. And my dad is African American. So, I like when I think of my race, I do take into consideration, you know, like, okay, Hispanic men, Afro Latino men. I don't date Hispanic men. I might date an Afro Latino man. I prefer to date within my own community. And the reason I say that is because there's certain things that we have gone through that only we as black gays and black queer individuals have gone through these things
mm-hmm.
and will understand. I'm not in the place in my life, and maybe at some point I will be into more multicultural dating. I'm not trying to be nobody's teacher.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be no teacher. I'm not trying to tell you, well, you can't say this, you can't do that. This is where this comes from. This is where that comes from. This is where this is. I don't feel like doing that shit.
Right.
And I think when you do date with outside of your race, you know, like, that is something that you have to do. And no, it's no shade to nobody, anybody that wants to do that. I just am attracted to black men because I think we're beautiful. And not to say that nobody else is beautiful, but I do love black men. And I do believe that at the end of the day, you like who you like. And I just don't like white peen.
Oh, I don't, my gosh.
I don't want that. And so it's like, even light-skinned men, I don't be trying to talk to them sometimes. It just is like, that's who I want. And like I said, there's no shade to them. You know, get it how you live, Robert. But
not Robert. I feel the exact same way. Like I'm saying, absolutely not at this, you know, day and age and who I am today and what I know I need out of a partner. I'm saying no for myself. Would I be open to the idea down the road? No. The only way it would happen is if I met a very seasoned, very well-traveled, experienced, cultured man who was not black. One who also had their family in check, because I also don't have time to walk into that, because if I'm not going to accept the bullshit from my family, I'm really not about to accept it from yours. And those people will be cussed out on a daily, and I can understand how that's going to cause some friction in a relationship. So I normally am just going to be the one to keep my distance and some shit like that. I just feel like with white gay men, especially older white gay men, there's just this, like, I feel like I'm performing or like putting on a show for them. Like,
boy, when I say I was in Highland one time, and those of you who are not familiar with Highland is the, I'm not gonna say the premier gay club in Austin, but it's like one of the larger ones. And so they have a night where, I think it's Friday night. I went on a Friday night.
Right.
And I went and I was outside waiting to get in. I was with one of my friends. She was she's a thick madame. Like, she's a bigger girl, but you know what I mean? At the end of the day, that's my friend.
Right.
So this dude decides that he was going to call her, trying to be funny. He was like, oh, Lizzo, like, trying to be cute. It's this older gay man. And he was around all these young gays. He's the older gay white guy. And I pop clean the fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, bitch, you're not finna call my friend no Lizzo. Who the fuck you think you are?
Right.
All his girls that were behind him were like, oh, like, they were up in arms and they were backing up. But he decided he was going to continue to pop off and he was going to go get bucked. And I told him, I was like, well, we can take this to the streets.
Right.
And then the police end up walking up and he tried to make me look like the aggressor in that situation. And like, all these white gays were behind him and they were saying he was being aggressive. And so I damn near get pulled out of the line by the police because I'm causing a scene.
Right.
And I'm like, it was the bouncer that came over and was like, nah, that's not what happened. Like, he's good. Like, let him in. And so I'm sitting there and I'm just like, bro, like, this is why I wouldn't date. Mm-hmm. This is why I wouldn't date outside my race in this sense, because y'all don't got my back. Right. Like, when I get into these situations, when I get into stuff like that, who would have my back? Black women, the ones that were behind me.
Right.
So why would I decide to date within a community that they don't get their privilege? They don't understand that, hey, I have this amount of privilege even within a marginalized community.
Mm-hmm.
And it eats me up, and I do not want no parts in that, baby. That's not my ministry.
Yeah, no, not for me. But
and if it's for other people, right, you know, if you don't like it, I'm not going to disrespect you, and I'm not going to knock it, and I'm not going to come for you, baby, because that's what you like.
If you like it, I love it.
Exactly. I love that for you.
Okay? But I know who I am, and we were talking, I can't remember who said this. Was it Clifton or was it Jared?
Who? Probably was Cliff.
It was one of them. But they were talking about, like, if a white man ever called them the N-word. And I was like, yes, you know, like, then I got to beat your ass. And then I'm going to jail. Because when the cops show up, they ain't going to listen to what the hell I got to say. Like, domestic violence charge on my ass. Like, no, I'm not with it. Like, we were all talking about, like, the weird requests we've gotten from white men, and just, like I said, that fetishization, and they wanna like ask to play like slave. They wanna ask to play like slave master and things like that. And all right, well, I wanna thank you so much, Marcus, for sitting down with us today. Yes. And shaking the table as promised. This was a great conversation. I feel like my soul has been, I said a lot of things I needed to say. I got a lot of things out.
Get it off your chest.
Okay, because we don't walk around with that shit in 2020.
No, we don't. But, you know, I think that I want to thank you for the opportunity and thank you for having me on to discuss this topic. It's something that we don't talk about often. And I don't think that we should be afraid to shake these motherfucking tables, because at the end of the day, it's okay to have these discussions within our community. It's okay to speak on things that would be necessarily taboo, because when you don't talk about it, it gets to continue to dwell in the dark. Mm-hmm. And we want all of our sisters liberated in 2020.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, follow, come on. Like, we're getting out of this mindset and out of these places. So,
amen to that.
Thank you.
And on that note, I will see you guys on the next episode of Perspective.
I'm Zachary Perkins, and this has been Perspective with Zachary Perkins. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.